everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks, where I show you exactly how to live your design. Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. I am so excited to talk to my guest today, Dream Oracle Holly. Holly, I met through my awesome buddy, friend, and intuitive guru, Jess Babico. And I've actually had one of Holly's sessions where literally she goes and dreams for you, people. Oh my goodness, mind blown. But we're going to get into all of that. But before we do, welcome Holly. Please tell my listeners a little bit about you and what you do.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Emma, for having me on your podcast. I'm so excited to be here. And yeah, what a little bit about me and what do I do? Where do I start? So yes, Emma mentioned how I dream for people. So I call myself a dream oracle. And essentially how I define that is I dream on behalf of other people. So I literally go to sleep. I take their questions with me into the dream world. I connect with their spirit guides, my spirit guides and their spirit guides, and get the insights and information and messages that pertain to the question that my clients ask. And then when I wake up, I share that information with the client. And yeah, that's what I do. And then I also have a dream oracle school where I teach other people to connect to the wisdom of their dreams, learn their personal dream language. And if they feel that they too are a dream oracle, then I do a practicum, a one-on-one private practicum to help train them and help them tune in and tap into their own dream oracle skills.
Wow. Oh my goodness. I want to do all of that in the future. So sign me up. Yeah. You know, I've been so fascinated by dreams for so long, you know, because of my journey into human behavior. And of course, as soon as you go into Carl Jung, you're like into that dream world and really starting to understand how we have this power going on in our dreams. So let's just start at ground zero before we talk about you and your gifts. I want to really understand, like, what is happening when we're dreaming? What's going on?
So there's many things that I believe are going on. And one of the things, the part that I really tune into is like the spiritual part. So I personally believe that when we go into the dream world, it's literally the realm of spirit. Like when I say the dream world, it's the spirit world. It's the multiverse, it's all the dimensions, it's the infinite, it's source energy, it's all of that. And so we do access that information through our dreams, but it's almost like not through our conscious mind. It's usually through our subconscious, and usually we don't understand it. And so we can learn to consciously start working with our dreams to assist us in our waking daily physical lives here. And then, of course, you know, we do dream because we need to brain dump and we need to process and all those psychological things that take place as well. So there's many reasons why we dream. And I think people often kind of focus on those psychological things. And I like to focus on the spiritual side of things.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I love that. I think one of the things that I love about how you teach and my experience of you, it really confirms something that I learnt a while ago, or discovered, I should say, is that, you know, there's a lot of, we have these crazy dreams. We go straight to Google, we look it up and we go, oh, that's what it means about me. And I have this real like aversion, like a massive aversion to being told who I am, what to do.
And I'm very conscious not to do that for other people. So I've always just played around with dreams. Like I see patterns. I can very much put symbols and things together. But I think what's really beautiful, especially the way you teach it, is it's like, and it was interesting, like in the session that you did, I was like, oh, can I share what I see? And I could, it was only afterwards that I was like, oh shit, Holly was holding space for her to come up with her own breakthroughs. But I'm like, pick me. It was like a video game. But really, I love the way that you approach, like, you really empower people to discover, and like you said before, discover their own dream language. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, I don't know everything. I am just as much a student as anybody else. And I believe that we have our own personal dream language, and I can't possibly know what somebody else's dream language is. Yes, I do. I think part of my gift is to be a teacher and in service to others this way. And so part of my gift is intuitively understanding what their dreams are. But I don't like to say what that is, because I like to encourage people and, like you said, empower people to discover that for themselves and tune into their own intuition, because it's their personal dream language. It's their symbolism. And so oftentimes, like you said, you know, when people go to Google and they look up their dream and then they're like, okay, this is what it means. When I was doing that before I understood my personal dream language, most of the time it didn't make sense to me, or it was kind of off. Like there was a big part of it that didn't resonate. And so I really like people to get out of their head and drop into their heart, drop into their intuition, connect with their higher self, and feel into what that dream actually meant for them. Because it's like that whole saying, teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime, give him a fish, feed him for a day. It's the same kind of philosophy that I like to take with empowering people into tuning into the wisdom themselves.
Yeah, I love that. It's so weird. Do you know, you're the second person who said that to me today, and someone said it to me yesterday, that whole teach a man to fish. And ultimately, you know, that for me, I always talk about becoming your own guru. It's the same thing. It's like really making sure that we empower people to find their own answers, because they can. Like everything's in them, and we have the ability to find it. We just have to go on the journey to, like you say, if it's dream language or our human design language or whatever it is, like actually having that self-belief that we can not only find it, but trust our own dream language in this case, or whatever it is, or our design. You know, one of the things that really resonates with this with me, and I know we had a conversation last time we talked about this, is that for me, I have realized since working with you, I've literally been writing down my dreams every day in my intuitive group, where also we just practice dreams again today. And what I've discovered is that so far, since the first time I worked with you, every dream I've had has water in it, every single one. And when you Google that, it's all about emotions and, you know, where you sit in your emotions and that sort of thing. And it was something that you said when we spoke. You said that you think, you know, your gut or your intuition is telling you that there is a correlation between our star sign. And like, I'm a Piscean, you know, and I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense, because I never feel uncomfortable in the water. Like sometimes I do, but most of the time I don't. So I think this is such a great example of, we have to learn our own language. We have to start to really create our own truth around that. Mm-hmm. So tell me, I've been hanging to ask this question, even to the point where, for you listeners, I didn't let myself ask these questions when I met with Holly, because I was like, nope, I want the actual, like, I want it all original. So Holly, I am so super curious about how you discovered that you're a dream oracle. You know, the thing that you also said that I really resonate with is that this gift came to you sort of later in life. It's not like you were born with it. You didn't, or even if you were, you didn't know it was there. So first, tell us how you do or be or dream as a dream oracle, like how you do that. And then can you tell me a little bit how you, like, how did you discover it? Like, how do you learn that you can dream for other people?
I know it's super random. I'm not going to lie. So your first question was, how do I dream for other people? So essentially what it is I know my own personal dream language. And so I can go into the dream world and my guides know my dream language. So I'm connecting with my guides all the time, my higher self through the dream world. And what I do is they connect with your guides, your higher self, and share the information to my guides. And then my guides basically speak to me in my dream language. So I understand what it is. And then there's obviously still like your connection, because the energy, every time I dream for somebody else, it always is so different and it feels so different. Like it's completely different than my own dreams, even though I'm dreaming it, if that makes sense. Yeah. So that's kind of how it works. And how I discovered it was really random. So backing up, as a child, I was a pretty vivid dreamer. And I remember asking my mom, and I was like, what are dreams about? Where do we go? What does that mean? Like, I don't understand. And the only thing I remember her saying, which was great, because it really opened the door and held space for me for all these years before I discovered this gift, was that she said that when we go to sleep, it's like your spirit goes off to heaven and you're just kind of around in the spirit world and you're just doing spirit things. And then when you wake back, you just come back to your body and you're here. And I was like, okay, like, but what am I doing? Like, what do these dreams mean? And I never knew. And I spent many years trying to Google and read dream dictionaries. And I gave up for the longest time because I was like, they don't really resonate. It doesn't really apply. It's not making sense to me. And so I'm 41 for the listeners or people who don't know me. I literally discovered this like in, I think I was like 37. So later in life. And up until that point in my life, I had been on my own spiritual practice, spiritual journey, healing inner child wounds, all this kind of stuff. And so I was working with a spiritual teacher, and she had put together a sacred site tour and retreat in Egypt. And immediately I was like, yes, I need to go. Like, I need to go. Because ever since I was a child, I remember being in elementary school and learning about the pyramids. And I was like, I need to go there. Like, it was like, even talking about this right now, like goosebumps. And so I was like, immediately, yes, signed up, I'm going. And I'd been working with my teacher for a couple years at that point already, and just doing, like I said, my own personal healing with her. And when we would have sessions, she would say, Holly, just so little FYI, 4 days before our session, 4 days after, I work with you in the dream world, and it's called night school. We work together at night. You're probably not going to remember, but just so you know, we're doing energetic work together when you're sleeping. And I'm like, okay, that sounds a bit weird, but sure, I'm open-minded and I love dreams. So I'm like, cool. Like, maybe I'll try and remember it. And so for, you know, the first 2 years, I did not remember night school. And it was in Egypt when I remembered night school for the first time. And my dreams opened up. It was like literally things really unlocked in a different way. So I was lucid dreaming before, but it was so different after Egypt. Like something awoken, and I was so much more aware and conscious of my dreams to such a different level than previous. And so I came back to after the retreat, actually, no, when backing up, when we were still in Egypt, we went to the temple of Hatshepsut. And so Hatshepsut, for those who don't know, she was the only female pharaoh who reigned and had full pharaoh power back in ancient Egypt. So we were at her temple, and my teacher pulled me aside and she said, hey, Holly, did you know that there was these oracles that used to work for the pharaoh? And what they would do was that they would go to sleep, and they were trained to like tap into the minds of the enemy. I'm like, this is so not like in this day and age. I'm like, that's very much a violation, but that's what they did back then. And so she's like, they would go into the minds of the enemy and extract what their plan was to overthrow the pharaoh. And she says, you know, no one really knows this, but that's actually why she reigned for as long as she did. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I'm like, that's the coolest. Like, I know I had past lives in Egypt. And I remember thinking like, oh, like my ego was like, that's the past life that I want to have, because that's the coolest thing I've ever heard. And so that was that conversation. And then after Egypt, 6 months after, I had an Akashic record reading from this woman named Agapi. And she told me, she's like, oh yeah, so your guides want you to know about this past life you had when you were in Egypt. You were an oracle. You worked for the Pharaoh. You would dream. And like, she literally told me word for word what my teacher told me when I was in Egypt. It was like the craziest thing. I was like, no way.
My goodness. I've got head to toe goosebumps. Like, this is amazing. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of how it really started. And then I started just sharing messages for the collective on my YouTube and Instagram. And then my mother-in-law called and was like, can you get a message for me? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I've never tried before. And I tried and it worked. And I practiced on more people and it worked. And I just started talking about it. And it grew from there. And then other people started approaching me saying like, hey, like, I want to learn how to do this. I want to learn more about my dreams. And so that's why I started the Dream Oracle School. And now here we are.
Oh my goodness. So tell me, how do you go? And first of all, how do you get, when you started getting messages for the collective, how did you know they were messages? Like, did you set an intention? Was it just that it was that different feeling? Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how you did that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I heard this podcast. It's an old podcast. It's not around anymore. It was called Manifest This by Ashley Wood. And she had this woman on, Dr. Connie Kaplan. And Dr. Connie Kaplan was talking about collective dreaming. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting. And she says how the majority of our dreams are actually collective. And so I was like, oh, like, I'm going to start looking at my dreams from this collective standpoint and see if I can see the messages for the collective versus me. And so I started doing that. And this is also a tip for anybody listening. It's like, start looking at your dreams from a collective standpoint, because it's almost easier to start seeing the messages, because, you know, oftentimes we don't want to see the message. Even when we're asking for the message, we don't want to see it. And, but when you look at your dreams from a collective standpoint, you can actually see a lot. And so I started doing that and just sharing. And of course, because I'm part of the collective, you know, on certain levels, those messages apply to me as well. And so, yeah, I just started sharing them. And that's kind of how I got into sharing collective messages. And now here we are. Yeah.
So is it would be just like you're having this dream and there's a theme that's going on, and it's about that theme that you share. Is that what it is?
Well, with the collect, so what often happens for me in dreams, and this is the work that I do with my teacher. So the teacher who took me to Egypt, her name is Brooke Still, and I still work with her, and she's the one who's really helped me activate my gifts even further. And we work a lot in the dream world, as well as, you know, one-on-one sessions in this physical world. And yeah, so what happens often when I'm dreaming is I will know in the dream what the message is. Like, I'll get a download. It almost feels like a download coming through my crown. And everybody experiences it differently. Like, based on the students that I have, some feel that, some don't. Like, sometimes I will hear a voice and the voice will be like, okay, Holly, this is the message. And it's like, boom, downloaded. And like, everything that I'm witnessing in my dream makes instant sense. And then it's such an experience. It'll wake me up and then I'll record that dream down.
Wow. That is so cool. And is this something that, like, did you teach yourself to lucid dream, or did you, I know it's kind of an aside question, but did you teach yourself to lucid dream, or was that just a natural thing?
It just happened. So I didn't even know what lucid dreaming was. And then when I was about 23, 24, I had a friend who talked about lucid dreaming, and then I was like, what is that? And he told me what it was. And from there, about a couple months after, that's when I started lucid dreaming.
Wow. And did you do anything to start lucid dreaming, or was it just that you became aware of what it was and then it started happening?
I became aware of what it was and then it started happening. Yeah. But there's definitely lots of, like, I don't teach lucid dreaming, but there's lots of tips and techniques out there.
Yeah. Just for those listeners out there that don't know what lucid dreaming is, I could give my definition, but I think it's going to be different to yours. So I'd love you just to share, what is lucid dreaming?
Yeah. So lucid dreaming, like the basic definition of it, is being conscious and aware that you are dreaming. There is, when most people are referring to lucid dreaming these days, they're kind of referring to controlling your dreams and manipulating your dreams. And that is a form of lucid dreaming. It's kind of under the umbrella of lucid dreaming, but just being aware and conscious of the fact that you're dreaming is lucid dreaming. So most of the time when I'm doing my dream oracle work, I do not control the dream. I can't control it. I just am aware that I'm dreaming and I'm witnessing and watching and receiving the downloads. And then there's other times when I'm not working on clients, I'm not doing collective dreaming, I will then lucid dream and control my dream to do other things, but never when I'm receiving messages.
Yeah, I love that. And what purpose would you have to lucid dream? Like, one of the things, and the reason why I ask this question, is the thing that I'm fascinated about is that I've read a little bit, learned a little bit, that we can, if we can lucid dream, then we can heal ourselves a lot faster in that state. Obviously, our brain's in the right state for healing and transformation and change. And like, is that the what sort of purpose would you use lucid dreaming for?
So there's lots of different things or reasons why. And some of them are to, like, you know, I like to go galactic sometimes, and I like to go connect in with different beings from other planets. So that's when I'll, like, intentionally do that. There's different work that, like spiritual tools and spiritual practices that my teacher shared with me that I'll do in the dream world. And I need to be lucid to do that. And yes, you know, you're right with the healing. There's so many forms of healing that we can do while we're sleeping. And some of those are while being lucid, and some of them are just not. You can just set an intention to help heal, and that can be powerful too. But yeah, you're right. There are some ways to heal yourself through lucid dreaming.
Amazing. Amazing. So tell me a little bit about, now I'm fascinated by healing. So if someone was going to just have a go at healing something through the dream, through using their dreams, how would they go about that?
I would start with a simple intention. I would start with that, and I wouldn't ask a question. So there's two types of intentions. There's statement intentions and question intentions. Statement intentions are really great because you don't need to remember your dream and you don't need to understand the dream. You just need to create the intention, set that intention, focus on it before you go to bed, and trust in the process and just go to sleep and wake up, and you may or may not notice or remember what happened. But I would start with that.
Oh, I love that.
That's the simplest way. Yeah.
I love that. So you might say, like, let's say you have an unresourceful belief around scarcity, you know, like, I don't have enough money, or, you know, that's something that people are going to resonate with, I think, out there. They could literally just set the intention of, I am healing my scarcity mindset, or I am healing my abundance mindset is probably better. So they could just set that intention, you know, could they do it like a night after night for a while, or do they just need to do it once?
Yeah, I would work with it for a period of time and listen to one's intuition as to how long that time is. And what you could also do is, you know, have that experience. So feel what it is that you want to feel. So in my dreams tonight, I will feel and experience abundance, you know.
Ooh,
so, that, like, you're shifting the feeling and the vibration of what you're living in. So by going into the dream world, setting that intention and feeling that abundance and having that energetic shift in your field, that would be more powerful than saying, like, I'm going to heal it.
Yeah.
It's a default. By default, it will be healed by, like, you know, in my dreams tonight, I'm going to be abundant. I'm going to feel abundant. I am abundant.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. I love that. And as you say, like, that is the way to experiencing it in the real life, like, just that feeling. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about dreaming for others. So how, like, the one thing that blew my mind is, like, do you ever get to sleep for yourself? Do you ever get to dream for yourself? Like, hopefully you have good boundaries around that. And But tell me, let's start with, like, what's the process? If someone works with you, how do you dream for them?
Yeah. So I like to dream for people that I don't know, and that's mostly who I dream for now. And so they will just, we'll connect via email. So I have everything on my website where you purchase the reading on my website, and then we'll connect via email and I will find out what the question and the intentions are. And then I literally will go to sleep. And once I've got the messages, I send my client my calendar, and then we set up a Zoom meeting, and then I share the messages that way.
That's fascinating. I absolutely love it. Can anyone, like, I know you said that you have been training with a teacher for a long period of time. You know, you went to Egypt, you obviously had this spiritual connection and potentially breakthrough. Can anyone learn to dream the way you dream for others?
You know, it's like any other spiritual gift. Like, I'm not quote unquote clairvoyant. I don't see other people have those strengths. Those aren't my strengths. Dreaming is my strength. Dream oracle work is my strength. And so I don't think that everybody can do this. You know, I'm definitely not the only one. And I think those who can, just like, if you're listening to this and you're just like, ooh, like something kind of like perks up in them, you know, like there's like a resonance that happens. And so, yeah, I think it's just, if you put it under the same umbrella as, you know, spiritual gifts, we each have different strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell me, how can we all, as just, you know, like ordinary people, not dream oracles, how can we best, I don't really love the word use, but how can we best work with our dreams to, you know, remember them? I know that so many people don't even remember their dreams. For me on that journey, I used to think, oh, I don't remember my dreams, but it was just that I hadn't started to build that muscle yet of trying mm-hmm. to remember my dreams. So first question, how do people remember their dreams better? So we set an intention, then we want to remember it. How do we do that?
Yeah. So setting an intention is great. Also, I'm a big fan of bedtime and dream rituals, which is just like setting the space and opening the door to say, like, yes, spirit, this is a channel in which I want to communicate with you and receive messages with you from. And so really being conscious of that and then setting the intention. So the intention can be simply enough to, you know, start remembering one's dreams. And like you said, it is very much a muscle that you start practicing and working with. What's really helpful is in the morning, like usually, typically, most people start dreaming around, say, 4 to 6 hours after you go to sleep. So that's a really good dream time. So some people I know, they'll like set an alarm, a gentle alarm that will wake them up, and then they'll hit the snooze, like the snooze button. I use that for years, actually. Like in the morning, I would set my alarm like 45 minutes early and I would just hit the snooze button. And every time I would snooze, fall back asleep, I would have another dream. And in that state, it's actually easier because I almost look at it like this consciousness level or frequency, where it's like when you're deep in your sleep, you'll go like really far in and then you'll come back out. And then when you're up, you'll come back out and you'll go a little bit in, not as deep in. And so you're still a little more conscious. So it's easier to like extract and pull the dream messages and the dreams when you're in that morning kind of up, like waking up, going back to sleep, waking up, going back to sleep. So I found that really helpful back in the day to strengthen that dream muscle, dream memory recall muscle.
Oh, I love that. And instantly when I hear you say that, I know that if I ever fall back to sleep, I have a lot more, it seems, vivid dreams, but potentially it's because I'm not that deep that I tend to remember them. Oh, I love that. So what I'm fascinated by at the moment is we just literally, my intuitive group, actually the group that you presented to, we were just having a go at going back into our dreams. And I had this really cool experience where obviously we sort of set the space, we ground, we connect in, do all of those things. And then we'd picked three pieces, standout pieces of a dream that we'd recently had. And then our partner would sort of guide us back into that space. And then what I noticed was when I went back in there and I was so much more conscious, I saw all these things that I didn't see. And, you know, a lot of things sort of made sense and I actually changed things. So instantly after, I'm like, I'm so glad I've got Holly after this class, because I want to know, like, am I actually accessing my dream that I've already had? And with the things that I actually did afterwards, so a lot of the processes or the even the talking it out or the awarenesses and those sort of things that happened this morning, not in the dream, they felt like they were making a shift or they were really giving me conscious awareness of what my dream was trying to tell me. Is that true or am I just making that
up? No, it's totally true. It's totally true. It's amazing when you start consciously working with your dreams, how much can shift. Like, I really believe dreams are a tool for spiritual awakening and you can use them. Like you said, use, it's like a harsh word in a way, but like they can be supportive as much as you allow them to or not, you know? So if you're really consciously working and you're like, okay, like I really want this to support me, they will. Like, we dream every night, whether we remember it or not. And it's kind of funny because I like this reference, but I don't like this reference about, you know, there's all the people who are like life hacking, life hacking, like drink like 8 glasses of water, like first thing in the morning, make sure there's lemon in it and it does whatever to your brain and it helps you accomplish X, Y, Z in your life. And it's just like, no, you know, like just, you can use your dreams. Dreams are so powerful.
Yeah. And it was really interesting. I'm so glad you said that. It was really interesting because it was last night's dream. And as I went through this process and I could feel all the same feelings. And as my partner was asking me questions, because obviously she's an intuitive and there was intuitive things for her. And she would ask me these questions. And I was like, oh, I hadn't even thought of that. And the moment she asked the question, all of a sudden it was like everything sort of just shifted a bit. And literally like the whole dream just sort of changed in front of my eyes. So if we choose to do this ourselves and we sort of go in and we play with these, even the snippets that we get, because that was the other thing I noticed, that this particular first bit of the dream, it was kind of a snippet that I brought. I was like, I don't remember this bit. And what it did is as we went back in, it just filled out. And it's kind of like I was just so curious, like, am I just manipulating it or am I, you know, am I just making this stuff up? But one of the things, and I kind of answering my own question, but one of the things I think's amazing about this, it's everything to do with spirituality. It's that piece in us that our ego says, am I just making this shit up? Because the minute we go, but what if we just choose to believe it's true? You know, is that kind of the same with dreams? Like if we stay really open to them and we play, that was the other thing for me, like a big theme for me is always being playful and keeping it playful, because I can get really serious. I know that most of my listeners wouldn't think so, but I can get really freaking serious sometimes. So with our dreams, if we're trying too hard to get something from them, is it fair to say we need to get back to that place where we're just like, let's have fun, let's play, let's see what's true for us, and then we're going to be able to potentially access them a little bit more?
Yeah, I always say approach your dreams with joyful curiosity, you know, staying in that state of joy and being curious versus it keeps you in more of an intuitive space than it does a mind space. It's what's tricky with dreams is we often immediately go to our mind to understand, to decipher them, to interpret them. And our mind isn't meant to do that. It's an intuitive space that we need to go to. So having that light energy versus a grasping energy is much more supportive than, you know, the grasping.
Oh my goodness, I just had a massive aha moment, because when I wrote down my dream, I was writing it down with that, like, I have to write down my dream. And then when I was doing this exercise with my buddy, it was all about fun. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just playing. And it just opened up so much more. So I love that. Mm-hmm. So the next question I have is, I really want to ask you about how people can decipher, learn, get to know their own dream language. And I also, just in case, I want to make sure I remember as well, I want to ask about things that help us dream. You know, my husband and I actually take mushroom elixirs. So we have lion's mane and reishi that we take at night. And ever since we started taking the reishi, like, our dreams got crazy. We also use, sometimes I put, I think it's Melaleuca. No, it's not Melaleuca. It's Manuka. Manuka. If you put Manuka essential oil, just one drop in the diffuser by your bed, crazy dreams, like crazy out there dreams, like to the point where, and this little bottle costs me like over $100, and my husband would be sneaking it in every night because he was having like these crazy dreams. So I want to talk about dream language, and I want to talk about the things that we can help us, the supplements that can help us dream.
Yeah. So dream language is something that I teach people to understand in my Dream Oracle School. So if people really want to dive into that, then I recommend, you know, joining the Dream Oracle School, because in that we dive into, you know, learning your personal dream language. There's a lot of exercises that I share to help people really open that up. I also teach working with the moon and the planets, because those are very fundamental in our dreams, and assisting our dreams. Like, our dreams are so impacted and affected by the moon. And so all of that kind of goes into learning your personal dream language. And in the beginning, what I would say for those listening, if you, you know, want to start right now, it's like, you know, have that dream journal and really drop into your intuition. Really drop into your intuition. So, you know, sometimes what's helpful is writing the dream down and then coming back a little bit later. When you're a little bit less attached, when you're less trying to figure it out, maybe do a meditation first, then read your dream and feel into, or read your dream and have the meditation. So you're like still in that like dropped in space, and then ask your guides, like, what did this dream mean? And start like deciphering it that way. And I always say, focus on the symbols secondary. It's more about the vibration and the energy of the dream, and feel into that before you're like focused on, you know, there was this flower, and what was this flower? What does that flower mean? You know? And sometimes we get too tunnel vision on one thing or a couple things in the dream. We miss the whole context of everything else.
Yeah. And I, again, just popped my awareness just popped in of this dream that I've been working on. Like, in one part of this dream, I was in a boat with this person who is, you know, she's very symbolic in my life. And we're in this boat and we're on this river. And all of a sudden the boat fills with water and she falls out. And this bear has the energy of my youngest son. And I know we've talked about a dream with my youngest son, but it's a bear. The bear goes to the bottom of the river. And I remember, like, even thinking in the dream, how do I feel? Nope, I feel good. I'm fine. And, you know, and I see the bear and I grab the bear and the bear's fine and it's all fine. And I think that's one thing that I've really practiced as well since learning from you, is like the first thing I ask myself, and I think I'm even doing it in my dreams now, like, how do I feel? Like, I'm getting more conscious about how I'm actually feeling about what's happening, as opposed to what's actually happening. And I think that's been a real breakthrough. And the other thing that, like you said, like the things that keep repeating, like, I would have a freaking shower in every single dream or every part of my dream. I'm always like, oh, I gotta go have a shower. It's like, it's so, so weird. But obviously for me, I think it's all about, it's always at a point where I need to wash off other people's energy. I need to wash clean and that sort of thing. So that's how we start just paying attention to what keeps showing up.
So when you're talking there, it reminded me of when we go into the dream world, we have so many other senses than we do in this human form. And so we have all these senses, all these experiences in the dream world, and this understanding in the dream world in that moment. And then it's like this big funnel. I always imagine like a big funnel that's funneling down and like getting really small at the center of your head. And then when you wake up, all that information tries to like cram into our human brains, and most of it falls away because we don't have those senses in our human form. Like, we are limited in our brains, in our human form, to understand the dreams and understand the frequencies and understand the energies. And what we often end up doing is we focus on the symbols, we focus on the human things, the human experiences, the things that if this was happening in real life, this is what it would mean. But the thing is it's not a human life that you're experiencing in the dream world. It's a soul experience. And so that is why you have to learn to get out of your mind and back into your intuition when connecting in, which is why I always say, like, tune into the vibration, tune into the energy, and then maybe look at the symbols, because they do have relevance, but they're just not what we should focus on first. And remember that there's all these other senses that we're experiencing that expand us. And then we just like contract back in this human form. And so it's like, it is really difficult because we don't have the capacity. We're limited with our brains. And so tuning into our intuition, tune into your higher self and decipher from that space.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. I love it. Do you know, the thing I also noticed today before we move on to supplements, or
I still have to answer. Yeah. The supplements.
Yeah. It was really interesting. Now you say that when I went back into the dream this morning, I felt otherworldly. Like, it felt very different. And I had the ability to sort of hone in on things that I hadn't before. Like, when I was just writing it down, it was almost like, because my mind was focused on getting the details down. But the moment I went back into it, it was, definitely felt really different. And it was almost like in certain parts I was watching myself doing this adventure, or whatever I was doing, in whatever bloody water I was doing it in. And there was just, there was just definitely this other energy of like almost like the storyteller was just where I was viewing it from, as opposed to being in the story as much. It was, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. So and see how much is opening up now that you're like consciously exploring it in this different way.
And just like saw all these things that I hadn't seen before. It was amazing. So super conscious of your time. Tell me, let's talk supplements. Let's talk what can we take to dream more?
So everybody is different. I'll tell you what I really like. I really love passion flower and mugwort. Those are like my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Love those. You can have them in all kinds of form. You could do like capsules, you can do teas, you can do tinctures, you can do essences. Those are what I really love. Those are kind of my favorite. You shared a couple that I'd never heard of before, like Manuka. I've heard of Manuka honey. Is it?
Yeah. So this is how.
Is Manuka the flower?
Yes.
I need to get my hands on some of that.
So, and it's really like, it's a really expensive pure oil. So make sure you get the pure oil. But literally the first time we put it in the diffuser at night, it was just like, wow, like out there dreams. And my husband literally goes out into the galaxy, into the universe, and he was off into all sorts of different dimensions. The reishi mushroom really, really changed ours as well, our dreaming as well. And then there was the other one. We've actually got this other new one recently. It might be one of the vitamin B's.
Yeah, vitamin B6. Actually, that helps people remember. I forgot that.
Oh, I like that. Vitamin B6 helps you remember.
Super simple. Where's my vitamin B6? I have it right here. So don't get a multi B vitamin. Obviously, for those listening, like if this is, this isn't medical advice.
No.
Feel into your intuition, feel if it resonates with you. But the vitamin B6 that I have is 100 milligrams per tablet. So you don't want a multivitamin that has some B6 because you want, a larger dose of it.
Yeah.
But I have found that this helps because my husband doesn't dream, and I started giving him B6. I was like, you're going to be my guinea pig. And he started taking it and he started dreaming.
Oh my goodness. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So We're at the end. This has been amazing. I love your story. I love that you can dream for other people. That is amazing. And I'm totally fascinated by your Dream Oracle School. So I will be joining that at some point. What else, like, is there anything else that you'd really like people to, what advice would you like to give people when it comes to their dreams and potentially learning to work with their dreams and, yeah, get better at dreaming?
Yeah, I think the biggest advice is that joyful curiosity piece, you know, approaching it with that just fun. Don't make it something else that you have to do to add to your list of like, okay, well, now I need to meditate for 20 minutes. I need to do a moon bath. I need to have a ritual bath. I need like, no, just simple is better. Add it if it feels right in a subtle way to your everyday life already. So whether that's just like setting an intention before bed or lighting a candle or smudging, like a simple sort of ritual that you can do, even just taking 5 deep breaths before you go to sleep, you know, something simple to start consciously setting that stage and opening that door and saying to spirit, okay, I am curious to explore how we might connect through my dreams tonight. You know, just doing that. And then having the dream journal is of course really important, because then you can reflect back. And oftentimes when people start journaling, then they have major ahas. They're like, oh my gosh, I forgot about that. Or they'll look back after a week or so. I do a lot of voice memos with my dreams. That's an easy way for me to do them. And so I know that some people find that really helpful. So that's kind of what I say, but just, you know, having that playful, fun approach to your dreams, yeah, I think is the best way to start.
Yeah, I love it. And I know for me, it was just doing it, like not worrying about doing it right or mm-hmm. getting it down. I literally, for me, I write it in my journal every night, and it might just be to remember my dream. Like it doesn't have to be some big intention. Mm-hmm. And then of a morning, I'll literally just sit up with my eyes like half shut and just write anything mm-hmm. that comes to me. And often once I start writing it out, that's when it all, you know, starts to flow in. So I love it. And already in a, you know, relatively short period of time, I've started to really see how whatever I'm dealing with in life or whatever's happening in my life, in my dreams, it's kind of like it's giving me the answers. Like it's, you know, at the moment, again, it was just this constant, I'm getting this constant, like, just be you, Emma, like, don't worry about it, just be you. And I know that was a big theme that when you dreamed for me, that was in there as well. So I think that's the other part. I know the ego part of me would like, I want it clear and I want it step by step and I want all the direct answers and don't mess around. But this time I've really done it in a playful, like you say, playful curiosity, and it's been so different. And I've just enjoyed it. And I just enjoy like writing it down and having a good giggle about this freaking water in every bloody dream. And I keep having a shower. Why am I showering all the time? Like, really? I have a clean issue. So yeah, I love that. Just be playful with it and enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, so definitely.
Thank you so much, Holly, for joining. How can people find you on the gram, join your school? How do they do that?
Yeah. So right now I have enrollment for my school twice a year. So it's currently closed. So the best thing to do is connect with me on Instagram in my bio. So my Instagram is Dream Oracle Holly. And in my bio, you can sign up for my wait list. So I would suggest getting on my wait list. I also have in my bio, you can get a copy of my free dream recall and interpretation guide. So that's something that people can tap into, and it's full of questions and journal prompts to start tuning into your intuition more as you start looking at understanding your personal dream language. So I would start there. My website is hollyemerson.com, which is HollyEmerson.com. People always miss the two M's in my last name. So yeah, but the gram is the best place to connect with me. I'd love to hear from people too. Like I'm always open to DMs, and yeah, just connect in.
Love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much. We're going to put all of those details in the show notes as well, people. So you can just copy and paste,
I will send it all to you.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you everyone for listening. And yeah, I look forward to having you on the next podcast. Bye for now.
Thank you.
Thanks everyone for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.